看来我们只能靠自己了。
地球错失了最后的逃命机会。
这座公共不是庇护所。
我觉得旁边的二货人哪辆几班女的都
Hi everyone, and welcome to Middle Earth, your source for insight into China cultural industry, how the cultural business work in that part of the world, told by the ones who are in the trenches of creation, production, and distribution. I'm your host, Aladin Faré, from China Compass Production, your film production service in the Middle Kingdom. And this show is a member of the Cineca Network. As usual, you can take a look at the show notes to find the recommendation and the guest contact info. Today, I am with Ruby Chen, who one day told me a sentence I will never forget. If I remember correctly, you told me, in China, you have to be friends with everyone.
Yes. Hi.
So you're from Taipei. After graduating in international business at the Ming Chuan University in the same town, you work in the private sector, mainly at McKinsey, the famous management consulting firm, where you ended up, where you, I guess, you start climbing up your way and you ended up as the director of Leadership Institute in China.
Correct.
Well, thank you for sending me your bio. Yeah, I just lurk all around LinkedIn to find those information. Then in 2006, you co-founded with two friends, Ben Xiong and Chong Chaowei, you co-founded together CNEX, which stands for China Next.
Right.
Ben Xiong was one of the founder of the internet portal Sina, and Chong Chaowei is a producer, and the three of you are from Taiwan. The goal of CNEXT, which the way I see it might maybe more called a foundation than a production company, but yes. I guess we will talk more about this.
Yeah, we can talk more about that, how we started and, you know, what we aim to do, yes.
Okay, so the aim of CNEXT is to produce and promote Chinese documentary, facilitate cultural exchange through supporting documentary film depicting contemporary Chinese people and China society. And for almost two decades now, we have produced more than 100 feature documentary film, and you keep working on producing more, as a dozen are in the pipeline.
That's a very complete introduction. Aladin apparently has spent time to study me a little bit. If I may, before working in McKinsey, started in 2002. I actually had been international trading business, working in multinational companies based in Taiwan for about seven, eight years before I joined McKinsey formally. Yeah.
So I do think that for every independent or filmmakers, documentary filmmaker, I think everyone should actually follow your footpath. We should all start something like really in the private sector with a lot of money, and then when we're getting a little bit older, then we can go onto the artistic path, and not so much on starting young and then you don't earn money.
Well, I guess everybody would have a different way of building its his or her own successful career path. And by successful, I don't necessarily mean that you have to be rich or to be famous, but I think you want a career that you feel good about. And for me, I had always followed that direction. I studied international trading just because that was the thing to study back in Taiwan in the old days, where we were trying to become one of the four dragons. Young people may not know what that means, but that's how things were before. Went into McKinsey, it's indeed like the most blessing experience I could have, or one could have. It is the top management consulting firm. Strategic consulting work were provided to leading businesses, institutions around the world. And I therefore had worked there for 17 years and had the opportunity to work with many top tier organizations. All these are important information, nutrition's working approach I have accumulated over the years, and get to understand not just organization, companies, how to make money, but also about how to work with people and how to be most effective. All these contributed to what CNEX is doing. We started, of course, as you ask and mention, as a nonprofit organization. We started as CNEX Foundation, but as you mentioned, our goal is to support and help promote Chinese independent documentary filmmakers' work so that all the Chinese stories could be told by Chinese filmmakers to the world in the hope that the world will understand better, you know, from the locals' perspective. Another thing that was worthwhile mentioning is that by Chinese, we mean really Greater China. So when we first funded in 2006, we made the decision to have Hong Kong as our base for the CNEX Foundation. We, at the same time, established our office in Beijing and in Taipei. So we did start it as a nonprofit foundation. We go around and fundraising just in order to support our work.
So let's start now with the fundraising. So you, if I could picture that you're basically going to see a lot of rich and powerful people and you tell them, please help me, help us out doing those Chinese stories. Can you please spare a bit of money so that you can help those young creators? I guess that's the way you do it. You go all around finding powerful people, they help you a bit, give you money, and then after with all that cash, then you do an open call for creation, and then you receive a lot of people, a lot of directors who want to make film, and then you decide who's going to be the lucky one.
More or less correct. Okay. But we have started by having the goal of wanting to do something that, as mentioned in our mission, saying depicting the Chinese stories. We want to do it in a very unbiased way. So we want the directors, the filmmakers, to be able to work on their project and present to a group of jury members or advisors about, you know, what they plan to do or what they are already doing, and getting kind of through a workshop so that they get clarity on, you know, the possibility and the feasibility of having the film done. At the beginning, we had to shape our strategy, be really clear about our mission and how we plan to do it. So, you know, and where do we get the money? How do we arrange everything, organize ourselves? How do we get out there and talk to people in order to get all the important filmmakers and the important stories to come to this CNEX platform? So at the beginning, Ben and I had to chip in our own money, like 50% of that, maybe, just so that we could start. And then once we started to have something, then we can have something presentable to our potential donors and tell them, you know, what is that we're doing and how do we plan to do it. And we need to look for people more than just successful and rich. We need to look for people who believe in what we're doing and believe in the value that these independent perspectives can add value to the development of this whole society.
Those directors, when they send you a project, will you take care of 100% of the budget?
That obviously would not be possible. So the approach we took was that every year we would announce a theme for the year, and filmmakers with a story at hand can send in their application. It's typically at the beginning of production stage or maybe in the middle of it. We seldom take people only with in this development stage where we do not know whether they can get anything done. Because we have very limited resource. We do not have a deep pocket like any big foundation you could think of, Sundance or for a foundation. We're really tiny, small, private funded mostly foundation. And we don't get a bunch of money from a whole lot of people, but we had to go through a very selective process. We are also careful about the funding source of the donors. At the very beginning of the year, 2006, 2007, we provide each film, we provide $10,000 just in a way to help them complete the production and be able to get the post-production done. And as it's mostly independent films and not big production, so that money was relatively enough. The directors and filmmakers typically had already done something. They just need kind of like a bit more fuel to help them move forward and complete the thing. Just funding itself, it's not enough in this type of work. I think one of our value, which is very important and has been regarded so as by the filmmakers, that they think cinex value not only coming from the grant we provide, but also coming from the creativity advisory from the executive producers or film consultant that help the director and work with the director on many fronts, including story structuring, editing, stage, and connect to the networks and so on.
So you make an open call.
First year, we already have more than 60 projects submitted, and we select 25 out from those, and then we group everybody in the Central Academy of Art in Beijing, and we select 10 projects and provide a grant.
And today, how many projects do you select and how many projects are being sent to you?
Right. So as I mentioned earlier, that we do one theme every year, and we ask the question of importance to what we see the society has been doing. And then what we did was each year we select 10 projects. For 10 years, we hope that we can have 100 films. So that was a 10-year project to start with. And I think we did that. So that box has been ticked already.
But right now, each year, how many people send you a proposal?
Right. So just to be correct. Mm. So the 10 years thematic project calling has been completed in the year of 2017. The last batch of the projects we received was about 120 something. So that was every year we have more than 100 projects submitted. At the same time, started 2010, we had introduced a new pitching forum approach to have international commissioning editors from public broadcasters around the world, including Europe and North America, Asia. So, which is called CCDF, Cinex Chinese Documentary Forum, that started in year 2010 in Taipei. Every year in September, we would do a big pitching forum. So CCDF, we now receive, like this year, we had 167 projects submitted, and we can only select 20 out from those for the pitching.
From what I understand, the whole DNA of Cinex is that you help indie filmmakers doing film, maybe for festival.
For themselves to start with.
Yeah, it's always a therapy when you start your first film, I guess. But then my question is, you help them create, you help them shoot, you might help them on the editing, but then what's happening on the distribution side? And I think that's one always thing that the main audience always forget, is that you want your film to be shown and not just like to a group of a committee.
Exactly. A very good question. We started understanding that. So we will help them not just finishing the film, but also try to tell the story in a way that can be understood by more people and can reach more audience around the world, if possible. Therefore, we would help them write down everything needed for a film festival application. And some of those films were able to travel a long way around the world. We also help them to distribute the film later on to TV stations, in addition to the co-produced broadcasters, also to international platforms. In China, to iQIYI or Youku, Tudou, Tencent, etc.
Could you have a rough estimate of, on all those more than 100 film that you help, how many of those film maybe broke even, maybe even earn a bit of money, and maybe some of those which were really long and painful, and maybe people, by working at McDonald's, they would have earned more money?
I think for independent documentary films, it's certainly not a means of make a living. Let's have that cleared. So probably between 5 to 10% that we manage to have slightly some profit if you put everything together, plus the time value that everybody had to put in. Mm. Maybe around 20%, I can say break even. So the other 70% are all money losing thing if you just use money as the only evaluation indicator.
Okay. But then there is also the time value.
There's the time value, yeah. And there's also the intangible value of a documentary film. That's where we started. We don't think we want to make this effort as a money-making thing. Both Ben Zhang and myself, we've been there. We know how to make money. I think the goal of CineX, honestly, is not for that. If our goal is just economic reasons, we have many other ways and better ways of doing that. I think we started CineX because we wanted to, first of all, make sure all these stories, would be told and can be heard or watched. And then we also wanted to make sure that it can be done in a way that is independent, free from any organizational, institutional purposes. We honestly that the director and the filmmakers do their own film. All the other thing we did were just to be there to support them and provide useful networking resources just to help them complete the film.
Now, as you have a direct, you can directly feel the pulse of indie creativity in documentary. I'm really curious over those almost two decades of all those directors pitching you project. Could you explain to us how maybe things have changed in creativity in China? Are you receiving always the same kind of topic, or maybe there is like some slight change in the way filmmakers see China itself? And then after, can we move on to the same question about how does the film festival in the world, they were maybe seeing like Chinese indie film 15 years ago, and now maybe they are seeing Chinese indie film in a completely different light?
First, from the filmmaker's perspective, I think different generation of filmmakers have different perception of what's surrounding them. Like people living in the city and people from the village or the rural area, many perspectives are very different. However, through the approach we took, where people were able to exchange with each other and then in a way they influence each other, right? Theoretically, the so-called Chinese independent documentary filmmaking honestly did not really happen until late 1980s, early 1990s. And then since then, it has always been people who have something to say and mostly have something to criticize about the society and the problems they perceived or they experienced many times. Then they started to make something. When CineX was first started in year 2006, what's going on is that already there are some people making films, but they have no place to show them properly. And many of the films we watch touch upon important issues without the best storytelling technique. And so nowadays, if you think of, independent Chinese filmmakers, they already know how best to, technically to shoot, to in a way edit their own films. So there is a huge technical development in addition to their observation of the social issues.
Would you have one director in mind, for example, that started as maybe having a strong approach on something, but he was terrible at all the technical and all the storytelling side, and then you saw her grow as a better storyteller?
Almost everyone has received useful advice and creativity improvement throughout the process. But I would not want to name anyone as bad. I think they're all good. They're all good in their own way.
I didn't say they were bad. I said that someone got better over the year. That's different.
Well, they all got better.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the goal. The ones that doesn't grow along the way would have problem finishing the film. And luckily, we don't have that. We only have over the 100 films that we've selected. I think we had two films that dropped. They did not finish. And we let them not finish because we think it would be torture for everybody to try to make the film. But everybody had, in a way, learned many things along the way.
So now moving on to the other countries. I will stop saying Western countries. Maybe how does...
Can be Asian, can be Western, can be Eastern.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So how other countries, when they start receiving your film that you have produced and helped... Do you see a change of mind how you see how foreign curators, film curators and film festival they see Chinese creators?
Well, I think we have to separate two things. One is, the general film festival's idea of Chinese films that they're looking for. And I think people had already seen a lot of fiction movies in film festivals and many successful ones. But for documentary films, very little. Oh, at least at the time we started, very little. So one clear trend is that after we've been out there, our first film that we produced was Du Haibin's Umbrella. So Umbrella was in the Orizzonte section of Venice Film Festival that year. And that was already something very unusual because Chinese documentary films, other than the very few ones like Wang Bing's, Tie Xi Qu and going to Venice, it's quite rare back in the year. But Du Haibin, the second year, had another film that also we produced, Yao Si Er Ba, 1428, which is about the earthquake. So we find a way to do these documentary films that it speak to the festival circle, that they see artistically these documentary film meet the requirement of film festivals. Story-wise, it touch upon perhaps not very usual subjects and stories and issues. And it's from Chinese filmmakers themselves with some support from an organization called CINEX. So I think that is one of the things where I think initially when we first set ourselves out there, we did not quite expect that to happen. We do have advisors. For instance, my husband is a filmmaker, so he understands how these things work around the world, and he had always been our very useful advisor throughout the days. So that is one thing I think distinctively that CINEX and our work stands out internationally. And then if you think about the festival circle, they have transformed or changed from being very few curators, programmers who are interested in Chinese films to nowadays, almost everybody, or would come to China, a couple months ahead of their festival, when they get into the selection process. So it's not just you submit the films there. Some of them would have their programmers, their advisors, go around the world, not just China, but, Middle East and, North Africa and so on, to go there and just be there to look for interesting subjects, good stories, artistically successful films to be included in their festival.
But 10 years ago, they would not bother doing this.
Very little would do. Like the big ones would still have a few that, so we have friends who, more than 20 years friends, I know these people, that's what they do, yeah.
And why do you think there is this change?
China is growing. China is growing more influential, as everybody can see. There's so many more filmmakers, directors, been out there in China, young ones especially. And also everything is becoming more connected. Technology development certainly, would enhance so many things. Say, when we first started, you have to send DVD to them. Now you use Vimeo or other ways of, that the programmers can watch your film. And don't laugh. Think of the old days where you had to send VHS tape and so on.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not that young, unfortunately. I do remember the VHS tape.
Yeah, I can still remember when, this was my young days. It looks like 30 years ago. I went to a BBC friend's office and, on his desk, there were like at least 12 piles of, VHS on his desk. And he's like laughing. He's like, I don't know, when do I get down to those? Now it's everybody has an inbox with a lot of to watch links and probably never get to finish them.
So now we can move on to the thing to finish. After you finish producing all your film, now you moved on to another phase of pitching forum in Taipei. But then what is the hope and where do you...
They were overlapped, just to correct.
Okay, yeah.
It's not like, one after another. It's we started at 2006. We have our first festival in 2007. We started CCDF in 2010, yeah.
So now what is the future project of CNEX?
We continue doing CCDF, for as how many years we could, and as long as there are good stories to be told, good filmmaker that can continue to crank out good projects, and as long as there are always international interest in understanding these stories and, thinking of co-production, and thinking of either acquiring or work together with these filmmakers, we will continue doing that. CCDF is more for the international collaboration. And then we have other projects cooking that we wanted to be able to do even more than this, but we're still trying to defining it more clear. Because if you think of what we can have nowadays around the world, when we watch all sorts of different videos, there are literally so many contents waiting for us to be watched. And, if you go to Netflix, you probably could not watch anything else and just watch from Netflix. It, takes up all your leisure time. What the audience is facing is the challenge of how do I select the things that I wanted to watch. And I think CNEX now, after 12, 13 years of work, we do come to the point where if we say this is a CNEX film, people feel that there's something. Either there is very interesting and important subjects, or it's nicely done, or it's time well spent if people see a CNEX logo attached to a film. And we need to continue to maintain that. And so we wanted to be able to come to the point where we can generate even perhaps shorter, faster turnaround and more towards the young people's interest. So that is one basket of things that we're working on, trying to shape something that can work. There's a third bucket where we wanted to be able to help cultivate even more people in the field of making documentary films, ranging from the top tier, the very best films by very sophisticated filmmaker, to perhaps general public who wanted to tell a story of my family own stories. My grandparents, my father, my mother, myself, etc., and kind of like with the technology and the easy, kind of like access to many things online, people can do their own interesting films, right? You could see this on YouTube, and I'm not talking about anything like Douyin or anything like that, but I'm just saying that something quality and can be kept. As if we were keep our photo albums in the old days for the family. So I'm sure each family can make a couple interesting short docs or long docs for their own family or their friends. And people would probably want to be equipped with the skills on how to make these things.
CNEX is more than a decade old. So when it started, it was the moment that some people call the golden age of China, when apparently creativity and a lot of things were possible. I was still a teenager back at that time. Now I regret not being a little bit more older. China 10, 15 years ago seems way more fun than today. So it seems that back in the day, things were maybe a little bit more simple regarding creativity and connections between different part of the world. What is your take on that? Do you think your job is getting a bit harder those days?
I actually don't think so. I think that different times throughout the history provides different challenges to people who are working in any field. Creativity, art, audio, visual, all these sectors has its own challenge at different times of the year. In the old days, when you have not so many limitations. It was just seemingly, because still the thing is that if it's something that doesn't meet the higher political requirements or anything, that can still be shut down. Or the technology limitation actually would not be, would be a barrier for people to complete things the way they really want to. So filmmaking became something as if a painter is painting his, you know, oil painting or anything, right? So, but now that if you have the technology in place and even you have all these other limitations, you can still make things and you can still make your points. That's the thing, right? Because it, for filmmakers, there's a point that they wanted to make so that they make a film, right? And then there's always at least 10 ways of telling a story, you know, if it's something that's really important. And it's the creativity that gives the touch to the story. So take whatever censorship and anything else as, to me, it's almost like an excuse.
Where can we see all the wonderful film that you have been producing?
So in Taiwan, we have a channel, which is a CNX documentary channel, and it's on an IPTV set-top box. It's a 24-hour streaming channel. We have we try our very best to put as many films onto internet platform, you know, Amazon, some films, not a lot, but the Chinese platform, Tencent and Youku and iQIYI has many of our documentary films. And then we do have a DVD distributed over the years. Well, I know many people do not keep a DVD machine anymore at home, but we still have both the old and new ways.
Then when you sell your film to Tencent Video or iQIYI, then how does that work?
It could be click per click profit sharing. It could be at some upfront acquisition. Yeah. We also have films that we co-produce with them. So they become one of our co-producers. So they chip in the money a bit earlier. So the range, just like all businesses, we try every bit to see what is the best.
Because I guess as we are in China, there are so many more people being on their app and watching films. Then would you have a rough idea of how many people will watch a film on those internet platforms?
I would love to know. They do not provide us proper stats so that we know. So, but for the films, for instance, we had a few films. Back then it was Rocking Sky, Joe Shu, and a few others. We would receive revenue from the viewers, then we would have proper reports. But then they stopped doing that because one of the films had made too much money, as they said.
Okay.
So they changed to do a one-time fee. But then for good projects, when they come to CCDF, if they like some of our projects, they become you know, a funder for the project.
And what kind of project do you think they like the most?
Films and stories that talk to their audience.
That's kind of vague. Like, would you have something a bit more specific?
I think they don't know themselves. They just, you know, watch that and know, ah, this is something our audience would love. I think that goes with everybody. They can all write up something formally, but then at the end is they would have to see, is this something my audience at the age group and, you know, our highest, they have all their statistics. And then they would say, oh, is this something that seemingly meet them? Same goes with even traditional public television broadcasters. They would say, according to our rating and according to our viewership, this is what would work. Each one of them have their own criteria.
And now it's a difficult question. It's like asking a parent who is their favorite child. Would you have any film that you would recommend?
I have so many films that I would recommend, and ranging from year one, I think people should always watch each and every film that CineX did. But then, like, Du Haibin's Umbrella, 1428, A Young Patriot, those are the, you know, trios of Du Haibin with CineX, and those are films that you should probably not miss. also there are many other good ones, like we have A Brave Father by Li Junhu, we have Mothers by Xu Huijing, Father and Mother. We have Look Love by a very young, talented, female filmmaker. First film, a bit too long, but very important, Left Behind Children's Stories in the Village. We have Hong Kong filmmaker Zhang Jingwei with his film KJ, Music and Life, that won 3 Golden Horse Awards. Oh, by the way, just to brag about this, Cinex have won 7 Golden Horses Awards so far. I hope this continue. Anyways, so there's so many. It's very hard for me to name. And then I think if I could, urge whoever's listening to this, check out Plastic China if you haven't. It's on Amazon. And then it's a very important film. So I was told the film changed the Chinese national policy on stopped importing plastic waste from around the world. I think the film, it's a very beautiful film, but also very sad, but it honestly reflect the situation where, how some of the pollution, was the situation. And then also you see, it's a very complex issue. So all films are good.
All of them, of course.
Now, there are, of course, some films that I think I would like it to be better, but we understand each filmmaker has their own limitations and, you cannot force things to become something that it is not. And sometimes smaller films are also, by smaller, I mean maybe not as sophisticated, but then it's by a very sincere filmmaker capturing what is happening. And so by that notion, I think nothing is bigger than the others. But, sometimes just say, these cannot travel too far. But it's still important Chinese stories.
Well, on those good words, we'll wrap up this show. Thank you for taking the time to receiving me.
Thank you, Aladdin. And thank you for listening. If you are still listening, have a nice day.
Yeah, well, that was actually... Ah, damn it, you're stealing my line. And thank you, dear listeners, to stay until the end credits. Middle Earth is produced by China Compass Production, your production service in the Middle Kingdom. In case you have a film, a documentary, or a news project related to China, drop us an email at chinacompassproduction.com and see how we can set up a win-win cooperation. Today's episode was produced, written, and edited by Aladdin Faré.
Co-produced by Kaiser Guo.
Music by Sean Calvo.
Designed by Brendan Gonzalez.
Don't forget, you can look at Middle Earth Podcast on LinkedIn, Facebook, or WeChat. Drop us a like, tell us what subject you would like to hear about, or recommend us to a friend to help the show grow. I guess you already all have a podcast app, but if you don't want to miss the coming show or listen to the old ones, you can subscribe to our feed. And please do consider leaving a review wherever you get this show. Always help with the algorithm and our ego. Otherwise, I sincerely hope to see you next time. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.